few verses that we've read is the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. Since man sinned, the very day that God confronted them with that sin, there had been a promise that a remedy would be provided for that sin. Think, when speaking of the serpent empowered by Satan, it speaks about the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. We have satanic evil activity, and then we have the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus. He is the representative of that. And it says, he shall bruise thy head. Christ, the seed of the woman, shall bruise the head of the serpent, but the serpent would bruise his heel. So think, no sooner did man come upon the scene and sin that God immediately prophesied a remedy for that sin. And after so long a time, as it says in Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Well, if God sent him forth, then he was in heaven from all eternity. He was in heaven with the Father. And then, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Now, think of the different ways that the coming of the Lord Jesus is spoken of. In Genesis 3, it says, he, my son, the offspring of the woman, showing that he would be a true man, he shall bruise thy head. So here is Satan pictured in the serpent, and the Lord Jesus would bruise the head of the serpent. But in doing so, the serpent would bruise the Savior's heel. And in the fullness of time, after so many hundreds of years, this prophecy was fulfilled. So it was prophesied in Genesis 3:15, and the Father speaks about the Son coming into the world. Listen, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. So we have him prophesied, and we have the prophecy fulfilled, but the prophecy is that God sent forth his Son. But now, look at it in the portion that we've read. Verse 5, wherefore, when he, the Lord Jesus, cometh into the world, he says. And so now it's not a prophecy. It's not the Father speaking. But we have the very words contained in these portions, manifesting the understanding that Christ had when he came into the world. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. And the word wouldest not means your will is not for sacrifice and offerings, whole burnt offerings, all of these varied sacrifices that we have in Leviticus 1 through 6. It was not God's will that they should permanently be provided for man to deal with sin. Because after so many years of offering those sacrifices that even God himself prescribed, it said they could never take away sin. Listen to it again. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so it could not have been God's will for man to forever offer those bulls and goats. And the Lord Jesus understood that when he came into the world. Now, this is what is so profound. Look at verse 5. Wherefore, when the Lord Jesus cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, this was not your will, but a body didst thou provide me, prepare for me. Think, in the Old Testament, God had created animals, the goats, the lambs, the bulls. He had prepared them bodies, and the high priest offered the bodies of those victims year by year. But God said, it's not my will that the bodies of those animals should take away sin. And God prepared a body for his son. And that body prepared by the Father for his son was to do precisely what the bodies of those animal sacrifices could not do. Now, think of this. Your body. What if you knew that God had sent you into the world to be a sin offering? You say it would be a horrible thing for a man to know that he had been born to suffer and die for guilty sinners. And yet, if any man did suffer and die, it would not be for guilty sinners and he was a sinless man, but it would be one sinner dying as other sinners did. But here is the sinless one, the holy one, and God prepared him a body. And so the Lord Jesus comes into the world, and he looks at his hands and his feet, and he looks at all the members of the body that God has prepared for him, and he understands that that body is to be offered as a sacrifice to sin. Think of that, that the Lord Jesus, early in life, and so early in life that I'm not able to comprehend how it's expressed. The Lord Jesus says in the Psalms, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou didst make me trust upon my mother's breast. Which of you who have had children can think of any infant trusting you upon your breast? If so, it would be something that was not conscious. It would be intuitive. But the Bible says that the Lord Jesus was made to trust upon his mother's breast. And here it says, a body didst thou prepare for me, and I am come into the world to do thy will. Think of this. The Lord Jesus is one of God's creatures who understood why he was in the world. I want you to see some verses that are such striking examples of the awareness of why Christ came into the world. Turn to John chapter 18. Look at this verse a moment. Notice, he says, when he cometh into the world, he said, lo, I am come. Now, in John chapter 18, look at verse 37. The Lord Jesus is having a conversation with our Savior. And in verse 37, Pilate therefore saith unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end have I been born, and to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Notice, Christ said, to this end am I come into the world. He understood that he was to come and bear witness to the truth, that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and he understood that he was God's Lamb that was to take away the sin of the world. And so he comes into the world, and to think, in contrast to how you and I think, we keep hoping that someday, debts will be paid, responsibilities resolved, and the time will come when without pressures and anxiety, we have peace and contentment and can enjoy life. And the Lord Jesus lived his life knowing that the end of his life would be to bear sins in his own body on the tree. That's the difference between us in our bodies and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood why God had prepared him a body. Now, do you know why God has prepared you a body? Do you? I want you to see two verses. The Lord Jesus did. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. Two things. He understood that he was a creature. The Lord Jesus, while being the Creator, he was God manifest in the flesh. God prepared him a body. And notice what he says. Our body hath but prepared me. I come to do thy will. He said, this body that you prepared me is to do your will. Now lift your hands. Think of your faculties, your feet, your body. Why do you think God gave you that body? You say, well, Christ knew why God gave him his body. Why? You say, to do the will of God. Well, why do you think he gave you your body? To do your will? Let me show you. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And this sounds so much like the world that I'm going to read to you. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. This is what the Greeks at Corinth were saying. They were saying in 6:13, meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. Paul says, but God shall bring to naught both it and them. But the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now do you understand what your body is for? It's not for fornication. It's not for sensual pleasures. God has legitimately given wives and husbands. But you're not in this world for the enjoyment promiscuously of sensual pleasures. Your body is not for fornication. Your body is for the Lord. All right. Now, look at verse 19. Or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. You say, well, why, my body is for the Lord, yes. And what are you to do with that body? You say, glorify God in that body. Then Christ knew why God had prepared him a body. Do you know why God has prepared your body? Do you think it's to be in the world and simply take every pleasure that you can and enjoy it in that body? God allows those things. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. But the enjoyment is always to be in harmony with the will of God, never contrary to the will of God. And you're not your own. I can understand a sinner who says, I will not have Christ as Savior. My body is my own. But you profess faith in Christ. And since you have, your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. Christ, with his body, bought your body. And you're not your own. And therefore, the exhortation is, glorify God, therefore, in your body. Turn back to Romans 12, one that I learned when I was in the Navy. In the Navigators, they gave us a few verses right at the beginning of our Christian lives. And listen to it. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You say, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Well then, Christ's body was for a sacrifice. Yes. A sacrifice that was to be put to death. And what about our bodies? When you were bought with a price. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, do you know why God has given you a body? You say, why? He gave me that body to glorify God with that body. My body is not for fornication, but my body is for the Lord, and my body is to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. I've given you three scriptures. I could give you more. But now you understand the difference between you and me and our Savior is this. He knew from the very
time that he came into the world, he knew why he was here. He understood about that body prepared for him. He said, it's not mine, it is yours, Father. And now, turn to John 12, John 12. And look at verse 27. John 12, verse 27. Our Savior is speaking to his Father, and he says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. So he is again. That body was prepared by his Father for their sin, and that body was prepared by the Father that the Son might glorify the Father. And even though, according to all human beings, he would want to escape being made sin, still, having spoken to the Father, save me from this hour, he came to do the Father's will. He said, Father, glorify thy name, and listen to the answer from heaven. The Father said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now look at chapter 17. Chapter 17. Our Savior is praying to the Father, and he says this in verse 3. This is eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send. I glorify thee on the earth, having finished the work which thou hast given thee to do. Isn't that remarkable? That the Lord Jesus came into the world knowing why he who was God had become flesh, why the Father had prepared him a body, and that body was to glorify God. And even though there were temptations to divert him from doing the will of God and glorifying his Father, he glorified the Father. And at the end, he said, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth, having finished the work that thou didst give me to do. And some of us have not even begun to do the work that God has placed upon us. Now, what did you think of one who is owned by another failing to do his job? How long, you who had jobs, if you did your job for man the way you lived for God, how long did you have employment? So what God has made us for is to do his will. And I will quote this and bring it to your attention. Concerning the purpose of man in the world, this is what it says in Daniel chapter 5, concerning this Belshazzar that was having this feast. And remember the finger that wrote on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And finally Daniel came in, and he had to interpret that writing. And this is what he told him. He said, the God in whose hand thy breath is, thou hast not glorified. The God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. And he said, condemnation is fallen upon him. So the purpose of heathen kings is to glorify God. And the purpose of redeemed sinners is to glorify God. And the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into the world was to do the Father's will. And think of our Savior's awareness of that body, and think of the times he spoke of that body. The Lord Jesus at the Last Supper took bread, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. So the Lord Jesus, knowing that his body was prepared to take the place and to do what the bodies of those Old Testament sacrifices, those animals, could never do,
The Lord Jesus told that what he was doing for the Father was for the benefit of his fellow man. Because for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus himself partook of the same, that through death he might destroy Satan, who had the power of death. So he had a body to destroy Satan, to provide salvation, to do the Father's will. And at times the Lord Jesus understands. He said, a body hast thou prepared for me, and that body is to do your will. And then the Lord Jesus tells us about his body, and he says, this is my body, which is given to you. So our Savior had no life of his own. His life was lived for the glory of the Father and for the benefit of all mankind. And at the end of his life, when he should have had everything good to look forward to, it was an hour that is expressed as being a cup that contained sin and suffering and alienation from God. And the Lord Jesus said, the cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Because the Lord Jesus said, you prepared me this body, and what you want to do with this body, that is what I want to do. And so here you are. And I'm thinking of our dear brother Paul Logan, his body ravaged as he's been for so many years and then remissions, that sickness in that body. And think of others and the agonies and the pains and the illnesses that they've had in their bodies. If it hasn't been because of sin, it's for this reason. In John chapter 9, when a man is born blind, the disciples said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Did he or did his parents sin? And the Lord Jesus said, neither did his parents sin nor did he sin, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Who would know such a thing? Do you mean that God chooses for some to be born blind, that the works might be manifested to the glory of God in him? Yes. That's what the Savior said. And so here is one who waited his whole life long, that when Christ came and opened his eyes, God might be glorified. You say, that isn't a pleasant thought. Why, I think it's more pleasant than knowing that a body God prepared for you is going to be made sin and down on a cross. And yet that's why the Father prepared Christ a body, that you might do that at will. And the will of God for you is one thing, and the will of God for me is another thing in this respect. When the Savior was speaking to Simon in John chapter 21, he said, Simon, when you were young, you walked where you wanted to. You girded yourself. You did what you wanted to. He said, when you shall become old, another shall gird thee and lead you where you do not want to go. This he spake, signifying by what manner of death he would glorify God. John, the beloved apostle, was coming. And Simon said, what about this man? And the Savior said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Who follow me? It's none of your business if I'm going to be a martyr or if I'm going to live in peace and go to sleep and wake up in heaven. What is that to you? And if I'm going to be a martyr and you are going to live that life of peace and go to heaven in your sleep, what is that to me? The Lord Jesus said, I come to do thy will. Please notice, in the roll of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. And so for Christ, his will, how many things were the Father's will to him? But to come and bear witness to the truth, to come and be rejected of men, to be forsaken of God, all of those things were included in the will of the Father for the Son. And he says,
Lo, I am come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So Christ knew why he was in the world, why he came. And let me show you the momentous thing that occurred. Look at verse 9. Then hath he said, Lo, I am come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that is the first covenant, the old covenant that demanded the offering of animal sacrifices. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. This is the New Testament, the New Covenant. So Christ has come, his body has been offered, the work is finished, and his Father has been glorified. And now, he said, I came out from the Father, and I am come into the world. Notice, coming into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to my Father. But it was going to his Father through suffering and death and resurrection. But now, it says, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. So when you think of life and what it is portioned out for you, and you're complaining and murmuring, then you think of the Lord Jesus, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, the man whose soul the Father made an offering for sin, that the Father prepared him a body to endure the cross, and then you think of your life, and then see how much more you will complain. This is enough. Let us pray.